Hey, Fish Tank family, let's keep it real. Debt can hit hard and it doesn't care who you are, but you don't have to face it alone. I've seen people struggle and I've seen what a second chance can do.
That's facts, Juice. And when it comes to getting folks out from under it, nobody does it better than Van Horn Law Group. Chad and his team don't just talk the talk. They show up and fight for people when they need it most.
Yeah, I've known Chad Van Horn for over a decade. He's a good friend. And more importantly, I've seen firsthand the real results he and his team deliver for people all over Florida. Bankruptcy, debt relief, whatever it takes to help you breathe again.
Over 10,000 people have gotten a fresh start thanks to Van Horn Law Group. No judgment, just real solutions.
Yeah, so if debt is holding you back, call Van Horn Law Group at 954-637-0000 or visit vanhornlawgroup.com for a free consultation.
And if you mention the Fish Tank, they'll even cover the cost of pulling your credit report so you know exactly where you stand.
That's right. Don't wait. Take control and get back in the game with Van Horn Law Group.
Hey, Fish Tank listeners, Alvaro Freitas here, CEO of Casabella Design Group and host of the Renovation Revolution podcast. Look, every great football team needs a quarterback, someone who reads the field, calls the play, and leads the drive. That's what I do on your renovation, from kickoff to the final whistle. Whether you're dreaming about a bathroom upgrade, building that bonus room for your just one more week brother-in-law, or teaching you how not to be that pain in the ass client, we cover it all. This is an HGTV flop. It's real talk from a contractor who's been in the dust, the drama, and the demo. So grab a cold brew or un cafecito if that's more of your vibe and join me for the renovation revolution wherever you get this podcast. Follow the show and I'll see you in the huddle.
You're now diving into the Fish Tank.
Sitting down with Seth Living, Trap OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, yeah. Dog fans, number one. One, of course y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk, dive up in that Fish Tank.
Training camp is officially here, and Fish Tank Live is back, although at a brand new time. This is Fish Tank Live, presented by Van Horn Law Group and Casabella Design Group. Seth Levitt, not at the Casabella Design Group studios tonight, but we are on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. And as always, I am joined by the toughest live podcaster Dan Marino ever played with. He is OJ McDuffie. Juice, it's day one of training camp. I would say your favorite day. Your favorite day post-career, day one of training camp.
Well, you know, Big Seth, I was excited about day one, but day two through 14 were the problems for me. Yeah. You know what I mean? Day one was a lot of fun. You know, no pads, obviously. But, man, 2 through 14, especially when you're looking at the cats I had to deal with as head coaches. I mean, yeah. As soon as they could put the pads on, they kept them on. These dudes don't even put them on probably until, what, Monday perk or something like that? Like, I seem like we put them on. Jimmy put them on the second practice, seemed like, second half of the day or some stuff like that.
I thought he had to sleep in them the night before the first practice.
Get it, man. Especially with mouthpiece, it doubled as a mouth guard. You know what I mean? So if you have the grind going on, you could always use that and just keep wearing that one right to practice and stuff, man. But yeah, man, it's always an exciting time, man. It's always time. The offseason sucks, bro, especially when you have them as long as the Dolphins have them. You know, those are long offseasons, bro, you know? And so when you're sitting there, you know, waiting for everything to happen, you know, the OTAs, all those phases and mandatory mini camps, and then you finally get to training camp, man. You just want to get back at it, bro. So I get the excitement for a lot of guys. I get the jitters for a lot of young guys. Everybody should be a little nervous with this new, you know, organization or in terms of you know, the new people that are running it. And so it's a new day for everybody. Whereas some other veterans come in with a veteran head coach, same squad, same everything like that, it might be a little easier. Everybody's butthole, excuse my French, should be a little tight today.
We're offended, Juice.
You should be.
Your French should be tight, or never mind. All right. We'll just leave it at that. All right, let me make sure we introduce everybody before we get too deep before we get too far into the show.
There we go. Keeping us on the straight and narrow. You guys are terrible, man. Or at least not that type of show, fellas.
Producer, the legendary Savak. The guy keeping us on the straight and narrow from a legal perspective, he is Chad Van Horn. And the only guy who was actually at camp today, I believe, Sun Sentinel columnist, the host of Dolphins Deep Dive with Perk Podcast, Chris Perkins. Gentlemen, it's day one. You know what, Perk, I got to ask you this real quick before we get into it. I'm glad you are here. I saw Alan Poupard really upset on Twitter about someone reporting something that didn't happen because they weren't there. And Alan kind of went off and was like, yo, listen, who follow who you want to follow, but like, make sure they were here. Is that Alan okay? Did somebody rub him the wrong way? Did he have the wrong count doing a roll call this morning? What was going on?
I think he's in ICU right now. He had a cardiac episode after that Twitter thing right there, man. He went off, right? I mean, look, what happened was, and we'll talk about this later, but there was no one-on-ones today, no seven-on-sevens. They went straight to 11-on-11s, but somebody who wasn't there reported, as usual, the Dolphins did 7-on-7 today, and Poupart went off on them. He went off on them. Right. Don't pretend like you were here when you weren't here. They didn't do any 7-on-7, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I think he blew a couple of arteries on that one.
Yeah, man, that was like crazy. Oh,
think about that, man. See, I think it could have been a test. Like, you know what? We're going to put this out there and see who retweets and makes their own posts out there like they've been there. And then there's a gotcha moment, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You don't even know what the hell you're talking about, you know? And there's some guys out there, honestly, that, you know, talk about practice here and there and this and that, and it's like not even secondhand, it's like third-hand information. Right. And then they come up with, you know, some terrible, terrible stuff out of the practice.
Terrible. Yeah, for sure. Now, again, as we say that, I wasn't there. Juice, did you make it out there today?
You know what? See, what had happened was, you know, I've been trying to get a credential for 2 weeks now, and I can't get a credential right now.
Oh,
you know what I mean? They still treat me like, you know, the redhead stepchild, Big Seth, you know?
I'm not going to touch that one yet. We need to get warmed up a little bit.
Yeah, so we'll see, you know. Yeah. We'll see if Ann Nolan lets me get one at some point here.
Yeah, well, I'm not touching that one. But I'm sure there's one waiting for you, Juice. I don't know why you didn't get it, but I'm sure there's one waiting.
I'm doing the pregame show. I'm doing the pre and post during the preseason. You know, hell, you know what I mean? I mean, I'm still part of the program, I think. I mean, I haven't gotten that letter in the mail yet. I've got some other mail.
Hey,
that
makes one of us, Juice. That makes one of us. So, well, look, Perk, I want to jump right into this thing because you felt like the Dolphins jumped right into this thing. Talk to me about what excited you most right at the start of camp here. Jeff Hafley, from what you told me, he made a decision on what, no 7-on-7, but what he did decide to do was something that got you pumped up.
Yeah, I love seeing them go right to the 11-on-11s out of kind of the warm-ups and everything like that. There were no one-on-ones, no 7-on-7. They went to 11-on-11. Now, there's no pads out there. Remember that. They're in shorts and jerseys and helmets. But I like the mentality and the attitude that you set with that. And Jeff Hafley didn't speak today. He spoke yesterday. He'll speak tomorrow morning, so we'll ask him what the thinking was. But the players loved it. Devon Achane loved it. Zach Sealer loved it. Chop Robinson, Austin Jackson. What I take from it is we're going to play real football right from the outset. The one-on-one stuff and the 7-on-7, that's cute. That promotes the passing game. But we want to run the rock. We want to be strong in the trenches. I don't care if we're not wearing pads. We want that 11-on-11 mentality for Malik Willis, for Devon Achane, for Caden Proctor, for everybody on this roster. And we did see some good action out there. We did see some physicality. I think that attitude sets a tone for the team. It sets a tone for training camp. It sets a tone for the season. It lets players know this is how it's going to be around here. And I loved it. I love them doing 11-on-11. It's real football. It's not drills meant to thrill the crowd. There was no crowd there today. First practice is open to fans on Sunday. But I just like the mindset and the mentality and the message that it sends.
Juice, what are your thoughts about? Did you ever have a coach that was kind of their protocol? You guys get out there, jog, stretch, and straight to 11-on-11?
Hell no. Hell no. I mean, hell, I told you about my coaches, man. They wanted to go. We did all that. You know, my first training camp, obviously, with the Dolphins, I mean, we pretty much went right into one-on-ones. And that one right there was already scary enough for a lot of guys, man. But everybody wanted to see, especially some of the young guys going against some of the veteran guys and things like that. But, you know, like you said, you know, I like Perk talked about, man, let's get into some real football and see what these guys, you know, these guys have had enough practice. They've had enough meetings. They've had enough of all the other stuff. But one-on-ones usually, you know, it's usually for the crowd. It really is. It's a crowd pleaser. You know, the oohs and the ahs and the boos and the wild, whatever it might have been, man. You know, for the guys that were in attendance, you guys, Perk, you know, the guys that are out there reporting on the squad, you want to see who's lining up as number ones, who's lining up as number twos, who's making plays, who's not making plays. That's you know, you guys don't need to be wild in no one-on-ones like Seth talked about with no pass rush, no safety help, no things like that, man. Hell, I could be Deion Sanders right now if you give me 10 seconds.
Right now.
You know what I mean?
Dude, he's missing like three toes, man.
Oh, I could beat him in 5 seconds with 5 seconds now. Give me five now. You know what I mean? So, man, I'm with you, man. I mean, it's like I said, it's a crowd pleaser. And, you know, I like the fact that they're just getting down to business, man. Why not start evaluating groups right now? Why not start evaluating all these guys, the 11-on-11s, you know, and things like that right now, man. So I was really, when I heard that, I was shocked because everybody seemed like it's kind of a cookie cutter type of training camp all the time. You know, some one-on-ones, some 7-on-7s, team, you know what I mean? Then you do some half-line stuff. It's like always been the same stuff. I know Jimmy Johnson right now would love to just do inside drill the whole time, you know. But when they put the pads on, we'll see how much inside drill they get done. I don't know if you're allowed to do that anymore because it's sadistic, you know. It really is. When you think about, you know, 9-on-7, you got a free safety. What's that, Chad?
Yeah, what's the inside drill? Sorry, I know Oklahoma's. I know, I don't know. What's the inside drill?
Yeah, so inside drill is just, you know, offensive line, probably a tight end, running backs, and the quarterback. But the defense always has, like, an extra dude on the other side.
Yeah.
Unblocked dude that was just lighting our running backs up all the time, man. Just lighting their asses up, you know. And so it was, like, kind of an unfair situation. And the defense knows there's no passing. It's all run game. So it's like, who's gonna line up and get the snot knocked out of, man? Who's willing to get back in there and get it done again, you know?
Yep.
So, it was crazy back in the day. And we sat up there drinking Gatorade while they did that dumb stuff.
you didn't volunteer to go in and maybe you
not as a tailback.
Think I played a running back?
Chad, let me tell you this, Chad. I played running back all my life until I got to Penn State. And there's a reason I decided to go outside so I didn't have to worry about the inside drill. You know, I'm not trying to get lit up like that anymore, man. I did that. I did enough of that in high school, bro. You know, and I didn't volunteer for it. I volunteered to, you know, to get a guy a new chin strap if he needed one, you know, if he got, you know, or take some water to him. That's what my volunteer, that's where it ended for me, bro.
Juice, when my career ended, it was actually with your Penn State teammate. We had a drill where they said, all right, we're going to give you the ball. You just need to run straight and a guy's going to tackle you from the side. And everybody's running the drill, just getting destroyed.
Right.
And he comes up, and I moved out of the way. He's like, that's not the drill. He's like, I'm not doing this.
Not allowed to make somebody miss, Chad. You got to just take it. You just got to take it, bro.
Well, hey. I mean, don't you lose all credibility if you try to run that thing wide on the inside drill? Like, if you try to bounce it outside.
And they do, Big Seth. Running off the edge. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Nothing but a safety there ready to light your ass up, man.
But you keep all your ribs intact. That's the thing.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, what good is that? What good is that when you got to go back in the locker room? So, Chad, when in 96, when Jimmy brought that to the Dolphins, all the media members had to stand behind the end zone. That was where the media could watch, and you couldn't go on the sidelines. But Jimmy would allow the media to come onto the sidelines for the inside drill because he wanted – I mean, that was – that. Again, if you think about Jimmy and Dave, and I think we're going to see some of that with Affley as well, it was smash mouth. Dan Marino, we're taking away all your audibles. Like, we're going to call one play, and it's a friggin', you know, it's a fullback dive. And we're
running.
Yeah, and that was just the way they wanted to do it. And so everybody and the coaches was hoot and holler and put on a show, and it was quite a spectacle. And that's Zach Thomas made his name really quickly.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing about it, Big Seth. They're really, that's what the test is all about, man. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like who can hit, man? You know, who can hit? Who's gonna take a side? Fullbacks especially had to square guys up. Running backs had to run tough between the tackles. You know, you had to hold on to the rock. They want to see who's going to be fumbling out there. They want to see who was tough on this football team. And, you know, they don't count those wide receivers being tough. You know, and I'm not sitting here saying I'm not tough, but I ain't tough like them dudes. Them dudes are crazy.
I'm glad you brought that up because we have a couple of guys we haven't seen in a while. And there it is, Joe Robbie in the chat. See what he said, Juice?
Oh, yeah.
So now, meanwhile, he said that we haven't seen Joe in 3 months because we had a 9 o'clock start and he was already in his pajamas with the footies in him, the whole thing, 3 sheets to the wind. But now Dive Bar and Joe are back. So, fellas, we appreciate you joining us.
Absolutely.
I didn't realize. Man. They were supposed to be the bad boys of Miami Dolphins podcasting, and they're both in bed by like 8:15. What the hell's going on?
That's soft, man. That's soft, bro. I don't care what's going on tomorrow, man. You got plenty of time to sleep when you're dead, man.
That's time for that. Too good. So, well, let's – you know what? We're talking about linebackers. Perk, talk to us about – who showed out today. And again, I know it's day one. I know we don't have the pads, but it looked to me from all of the reports that the young guys, the rookies, there were a handful of them that really made some plays. You know, we saw the Dolphins posted a few things. Michael Taft had the interception. Mm-hmm. I needed to find out who threw that pick, and I guess it was Quinn Ewers. So maybe we can press pause for one day for all this open competition nonsense that I am fully against. We saw Jacob Rodriguez break up a pass. I heard Chris Johnson. I heard a couple of the wideouts. So talk to is that what you saw with your eyes? Is there anybody else who stood out?
That's what I saw. I thought, in addition to that, I thought Caden Proctor had a decent day. You know, now look, again, they're not in pads, and that takes away about 80% of physicality. But for those who are worried about his weight, he was not overweight. He looked agile. He looked like he had good feet. He looked like he was unbalanced. He never got lost mentally. He got his assignments and all that kind of stuff. So far, so good with Caden Proctor. Kevin Coleman had a nice screen pass at the very last play of the practice today. So he made a couple of receptions that were 10 yards or more. So that was good to see. I like the way they're using Trey Moore, the fourth round pick out of Texas, the linebacker. He's been put in some pass rush situations in first and second team. So I like seeing that. I thought most of the rookies out there had a good day. Caden Proctor, Chris Johnson, Jacob Rodriguez, Will Kaczmarek showed me some good stuff and when they were just running patterns on air. But he's the guy for third round pick tight end from Ohio State. He's the inline blocker, but he made some nice receptions. He told us he had nice hands. He showed us that in those drills. So I want to see what he does when the pads come on. Yeah, it was a good day for this rookie draft class. And then among some of the vets, we saw Willie Gay have a one-handed interception on the sideline. That was really nice. It would have been a pick six, except he stepped out of bounds. I thought Malik Willis had a good day today. He didn't do anything spectacular. Nobody on offense did anything spectacular, but the defense got the better of him today, but it wasn't just like a butt kicking. I thought Malik Willis made smart decisions. We didn't see him make a bunch of overthrows, a bunch of wild throws. I even saw him throw the ball into the ground once instead of forcing the ball downfield. So he had a good day. It was nice to see Devon Achane and Austin Jackson out there in 11 on 11s. You guys know they just did individual drills during OTAs and minicamp as they recovered from their surgeries, Achane, the shoulder, and Austin Jackson, the foot. So there were a lot of good things out there today, a lot of good enthusiasm, a lot of good energy. As Juice says, this day one, let's see how it looks on day 17 and day 30. But I like
to give it a day three.
Right. And I'll say this also when we talk about the mentality and going to 11 on 11s. You guys remember that yesterday Jeff Hafley did say that they're going to tackle in this training camp. So it's not just thudding them up. It's going to be tackling to the ground, more physicality. I like to see that. Today was a good start.
You know, Big Seth, let me just talk a little bit about you know, defense should be ahead of the offense. We talk about this all the time.
Right.
And I already told you guys this. I tried to tell y'all that the defense is always cheating. They're a bunch of, I'm using one of them right now. They're a bunch of fucking cheaters.
There we go.
They know the plays. They know the script. They know everything that the offense is going to run. So when these guys are out there making plays like they should, they should be ahead of, you know, more, you know, defense is more reactive than anything else. They should be ahead of them, man. But my problem, Burke, and, you know, I'm not going to get an Alan Pupar's bad side. So I wasn't there. But I did hear him on with Dougley and TD and Omar earlier today. But, you know, three turnovers out there, two for the offense. You know, now that's something that's inexplainable, especially fumbles. You said they're not even hitting. If somebody's fumbling the rock, that could be a problem. I heard that was the Ollie Gordon that fumbled one.
Did you get punched? Yeah.
Did Rodriguez do it?
No, I can't remember one of the linebackers, if I recall.
Damn, Perk, were you there? Don't
you know what?
I'm gonna get Poupard on the
speed dial. Yeah, I didn't actually see the play because I was watching Caden Proctor for most of the offense for most of the time that the offense was out there. So, but I can't remember who punched it out, who caused that fumble. But yeah,
okay.
He did. And Quinn Ewers, he didn't have a good day. I think the pass rush might have gotten to him. He threw an interception. Robert Beal Jr., the defensive end, was putting a little pressure on him. But you know, you have the whole camp to recover from a bad day one. So no sweat there.
Yeah, I love that. You know, and from reporting I heard about Perk, not that I was there or not, you know what I mean? I heard Malik was like six for nine. Alan Pupar said he was 6 for 9, you know, in this practice. Yep. You know, nothing spectacular, but nothing disastrous either though.
Correct. Nothing boneheaded, nothing forced, good decisions, like I said. Not bad throws. So, you know, I really what I thought he did was manage the game very well. They actually passed a little bit more than they ran, which is fine. You know, it's tough to draw conclusions about the run game when you're not wearing pads. So that was fine. But yeah, I thought Malik had a level-headed practice, right? It was something that you look for in a quarterback. We didn't see Malik run. We didn't see him run in OTAs or minicamp. I don't think we're going to see his legs, strange as it sounds, until the regular season. Because now you can't hit the quarterbacks, right? In joint practices, you're not going to hit the quarterback. He might run a little bit in preseason, but as you guys know, the starters don't play much in the preseason, and you're usually a little bit nice to a quarterback in preseason. I mean, if you need to make a roster spot, you're going to bust his ass, but I think usually starter on starter, you show a little bit of respect. So I don't think we're going to see Malik's legs until the regular season, but again, he made good decisions today. He was solid. I like what I saw from him.
Yeah,
I was just going to say, and I brought it up earlier, Quinn Ewers, not as solid?
Not as solid. I think he was a little harried, a little rushed, you know, but Quinn had a good offseason. So I'm not really worried. Quinn is a guy who has shown that if he has a bad day, he can bounce back. So let's see how he bounces back. He had a couple of bad days, a couple of rough days during OTAs and minicamp. But he came back fairly strongly, so let's see how he looks tomorrow. I think he'll look decent tomorrow, I think.
Yeah, and, you know, and also, I mean, you talked about Malik. I know that, you know, Half even said they don't want him running around right now. They want to stay in the pocket and make plays. That's, when you're playing a football game, I guarantee Malik's not just going to sit his ass in there and, you know, take a pound. It's going to be a different ball game. I like the fact that they're – you know, let's try to sit in the pocket, make some plays this way, and then when it gets to be real game time stuff, then be you. Just go out there and be you, you know, and I think that's what's going to be impressive with Malik.
So, Juice, I want to get this in before he goes to bed, but Joe Robbie's saying, why aren't we talking about Caleb Douglas? And, you know, going right to the wideout, I did read that.
Well, because he can't, because he won't do inside drill. We're not going to talk about him because he refuses to do inside drill. You know what I mean?
But apparently he had a good practice.
Yeah, he had a decent day. I again, like, nobody to me on offense stood out. Nobody had, like, that, you know, training camp Pro Bowl day. Like, you know, Skylar Thompson a few years ago was a training camp Pro Bowl player, right? Nobody was got off on offense, got off to that type of start, but Caleb had a decent day. I thought Kevin Coleman Jr. was just as good as Caleb Douglas. So good day from those two guys. I didn't really notice any of the other of the veteran receivers, Jalen Tolbert, Tutu Atwell, Jalen Reagor, the former first round pick from Philly. I'll tell you who I did see, though, just kind of flipping the script to the other side was Zeke Biggers. Zeke Biggers, last year's seventh round pick, 6'6", 325. He played as much on the outside as he did on the inside. And I like that Hafley told us they were going to work with him on the outside to see what he can do. That's a lot of man coming at you from the outside, 6'6", 325. So we'll see whether that produces something. But you guys know they're looking for pass rush. They signed Cleveland Furrell, the former number four pick of the Raiders from Clemson, Christian Wilkins' teammate. So they signed him a few days ago. He didn't do a whole lot in team today, if anything. But we'll see what they can do to manufacture pass rush and see how Zeke Biggers figures into that.
I love that term, manufacture pass rush, because I was, you know, when I spoke with Joe Rose and Dave Hyde, and that was one of the questions that was asked of me, was like, where are they going to get a pass rush? Where's the pass rusher? Obviously, and I might talk about Chop a little bit later today, but Chop's a guy everyone's counting on. But I said, Jeff Hafley, we need to see this. Is he got this job because he was a defensive coordinator, right, and his great skills. You got to scheme it up. Brian Flores found a way to make two safeties the best pass rushers on the team. Now, granted, and you know, one of the things they said is he had some pretty good corners on the outside, and we don't know what we've got yet at the cornerback position here. But I just think that's at some point the coaches have to scheme something up as well and help these guys.
Yeah, I think you're right. And you know, like, yeah, like you said, Flo used to do those zero blitzes, right, with Brandon Jones, who Xavier Howard called Blitz Boy. That's what he does. He called him Blitz Boy. But, yeah, but you had Byron Jones and Xavier Howard, you know, on either side. So they were able to handle their jobs like men. We don't know if that's going to be the case with this team. But, yeah, I'm going to be very interested to see how much they blitz, how much they rely on the defensive ends to just get there with natural pressure. What is Zach Sealer going to do? He's a man who had back-to-back 10-sack seasons playing alongside Christian Wilkins and Calais Campbell. Then last year it drops down to 5.5. He didn't have a whole lot of defensive tackle help. We'll see if guys like Jordan Phillips can give him some help, and Zeke Biggers, right, and Kenneth Grant, maybe they can take some pressure off of him. Maybe Chop Robinson demands a double team every now and then. But other than that, Seth, I agree with you. They're going to have to scheme it up. They're going to have to manufacture the pass rush.
Well, if those big uglies in the middle can move somebody, if they can get on in a quarterback's lap. Yep. You know, I mean, there are a lot of – I mean, look, how many sacks have we seen from defensive ends where there's so much pressure up the middle that they flee right into a sack, you know, a layup.
Right.
You know? So with these big guys we're talking about, the Biggers, the Phillips, the, you know, I mean, the Grants, the Sealers, if we can get that push up the middle, you know, from those guys, just make a quarterback a little bit uncomfortable, man. Make him move a little bit left, a little bit right, and that can create more attention or more, you know, pressures than we think that, you know, for these defensive ends. Just bring them to me if you can. I mean, I love the defensive ends back, you know, when Jason Taylor and Adewale and Goulier played. Yeah. JT brought a lot of guys to Adewale.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Somebody can bring them to him, you know?
Right.
You know, and that's how these guys get sacks a lot of times, bro. So bring them to me and I can make a play. So if we can get these big guys to be like you talked about, I love that Zeke Biggers stuff you just said. If Zeke is that guy that we saw second half of last year,
right.
You know, if he can be that guy, man, that's going to be somebody that other teams are going to have to pay attention to. And then guys get one-on-ones, then you got to win your one-on-ones. I mean, that's it, man, period. You got – football's a 11-on-11, but it's really one-on-one. You win your one-on-ones, you win a lot of football games.
Real quick, Is this guy's really named Zeke Biggers?
Absolutely.
As far as we know, that's what his mama called him.
Zeke might have came out when he might have been out of the womb. They called him that. Right. But Biggers seems to be his last name. You know what I mean?
I feel like out of the womb, he told people what to tell.
You're right. Right. Yeah. Once he popped out,
it might be Biggers Zeke. Who knows?
Yeah, he signed it. Yeah, he signed his own birth certificate. That's right, right. You know what I mean? Like, I know Seth's gonna talk about my man Chop Robinson a little bit later. But it said he's up to 265. Did you notice a size difference from him when you were there, Perk?
We noticed it in mini camp. You know, okay. that's when he put on like 7 or 8 pounds. He told us. I think today he said it was 10 pounds. He said he's got a personal chef now. So he's not just eating whatever he wants. He's eating smart now. And so he said that that's helped. But he said he watched some film from last year and saw what he needed to do. Jeff Hafley had told us they want Chop to be a complete player, not just a pass rusher, not just some situational guy. Chop is an example of, you know, how the D linemen always say you've got to earn the right to rush the passer. Chop has got to set the edge on first and second downs, and then he earns the right to rush the passer in third and long. So Chop has got to develop a complete game. And I've said this before with Chop, my big thing with him and Kenneth Grant, I don't necessarily need to see the complete player tomorrow. Show me one thing that you can do. Can you set the edge? Can you rush the passer? Chop has that great first step, but it hasn't led to getting the quarterback on the ground. So show me that one thing that you can do, and then we can build from there. We can work around your strengths. We can patch up your weaknesses, but you've got to show me that one thing that you do really well. I have not seen that yet from Chop. I haven't seen it from Kenneth Grant.
You're going to leave Penn State alone, man.
I was waiting for it.
That's all I got to say, man. For it.
I want to say, you know, and again, I guess that's my tease here. I'm going to discuss Chop Robinson and I tried to tell y'all. But he was not drafted to set the edge. I understand we want him to be better in the run game than what he was. But he was not drafted to set the edge. And I also get that this regime did not draft him, but find the pass rushers that they brought onto this roster. And you can't plug all the holes in one offseason, but they did not make an effort to bring in significant help for the pass rush. And so they have to be counting on him to generate a pass rush. They have to be. So we'll see what happens. He definitely – I'll talk more about it from my perspective, but he definitely has to step up. But I don't care if he becomes an elite run stopper. That's not what his job is.
No.
No, I don't. I think that Half just wants him to be a complete player. I think he wants him to be an elite pass rusher, but again, they don't want to just put him out there on third downs. He's a first round pick. They want to have him out there on first and second. And if you can't set the edge, then you're a risk on first and second down. You become a situational first round pick, which isn't good for Chop or the franchise.
Yeah, especially if you're not getting home. And Chop hasn't he hasn't been getting you. If you're getting home, they don't give a damn.
Right.
You know, that they know that's what you do and that's what you do best. But you know, and you'd hate for a team on first, second down, like, all right, he's on the left side, we're running that way. He's on the right side, we're running that way. You know, and that you become a liability and others have to take over and take those chances for you. So I'm with you on that, Perk. I think that no matter what, you know, Chop's got to be the same guy I saw at Penn State, some version of that guy I saw at Penn State in order for him to probably feel good or for the team to feel good about, you know, making that selection. And it's a tough deal. You know, if Chop was Biggers or somebody like that, you know, who knows where he'd be on this football team right now, because they might be like, you know what? I'm talking about being a seventh round pick. He might not be on the squad. You know, so he's getting this opportunity as a first round pick that we know has a lot of potential. He got that first round pick because he was a beast in college. That's why he got that first round selection, you know. But now it's our time with go ahead.
And Juice, as I recall, and Seth, correct me if I'm wrong, did Chop ever have double-digit sacks at Penn State? I thought he had the high win rate and the great first step.
That's right.
There was a lot of attention paid to Chop Robinson at Penn State. Every game plan was there's a lot of attention. He was so disruptive that I talked about other guys like running guys into situations. Chop ran quarterbacks into situations a lot at Penn State, you know, where he was had his guy beat or, you know, had a couple guys come for him and other guys was able to eat off of what Chop did for them on the outside, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. But I think Chop might be the same guy with the Dolphins that he was at Penn State. A high motor, that great first step, but you couldn't quite get the quarterback. You weren't like a 8 or 10 sack guy a year. You were disruptive. You were a quality player. You were a first round pick. But, you know, I just don't see Chop as a what we got there.
I don't know. Everyone always wants to know cheese what Chad's eating and drinking. I mean,
Was that cheese and crackers with the wine?
Cheese and crackers.
There it is. Chad's got so much class, man. That can't be Ritz now. I can't. Those better be good. Those better be good crackers now.
Nah, those are straight. Those are straight Ritz crackers right there, boy. I know what a Ritz foil looks like. I know what a Ritz foil looks like, man.
Chad may have a mirror ball trophy. Let's not forget he's from Pittsburgh. Okay.
For Manny Brothers crackers.
Let's not forget that part. All right, I want to stop talking about Chop because I'm going to ruin my whole damn life trying to tell y'all. I have one more. Well, actually, I have two more. I heard Willie Gay had a pick six. I didn't see it, but I heard that Willie Gay had a pick six. Is this the year that Willie Gay is finally going to get some playing time?
Man, let's hope so. Willie Gay is such a good dude. He still lets out that yell before practice. Every practice, he's still doing it. He did it today. Willie is a likable guy, but for some reason, he was the dude who last year always showed out in training camp practice, and we would go back upstairs and write, and we would be like, oh, Willie Gay is going to have that orange jersey tomorrow, you know, symbolic of the guy who was the player of the day in the Mike McDaniel era, and he never got that orange jersey, never got on the field. I think he played like 125 snaps last year. It's going to be interesting this year because he's the best suited to be the strong side backer. He's the beefy, physical point of attack run stopper as far as the linebackers. But I'm not sure that he's going to have a permanent role. I think they would rather have Jacob Rodriguez out there and Trey Moore and Kyle Lewis because of their situational play. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Willie. Like I said, with that interception, it was a one-handed interception, but I thought he stepped out of bounds. But it would have been a pick six if he didn't step out of bounds. Maybe he didn't. I looked to me like he did, but Willie is he's a training camp Pro Bowl player for the Dolphins. We'll see if he can get on the field. But that's a guy who, I mean, his role is clear. He's not a coverage linebacker or a blitzing linebacker or anything like that. He's the strong side guy to stop the run with that attitude and that bulk. We'll see how he ends up fitting in.
Yeah, you know, a lot of guys, and you know this, Big Seth, a lot of guys, they flash and they make plays because they're talented. But then when you go through and you have to play 60, 70 snaps, how does that break down when you grade it? You know, how many busts did you make? How many those things? You can make some plays every once in a while, but guys, and Seth brought this up. You talk about being on Joe Rose show. You know, Brian Manning was a hell of a wide receiver for us, and he's a great guy. Had a hell of a training camp, was preseason all pro, you know what I mean? And then once it got to the real deal, it becomes an issue. But like you say, though, he flashes sometimes, but you know, when they go back and watch all that film and all these other snaps, and then who knows? I mean, sometimes coaches be great. Coach Ford is the greatest, you know, like, you know, Lamar Thomas, what's your responsibility right here? And then Lamar, most of the time he knew it, but if he didn't know it, how many times are they doing this stuff in meetings that we don't even see where Willie might be like, coach, you know, I don't know. I'm not saying this is what the situation is, but we only see what we see, you know, and there's a lot of guys that we don't know what's happening in meetings, you know, like, hell, Danny Marino didn't throw a lot of guys on our off in the wide receivers because he looked back and half of them were asleep in the meetings. You know what I mean? So he didn't trust it. So it's like all kinds of stuff that goes on behind the scenes, you know, that hopefully doesn't get out of the building. We didn't get anything out of the Mike McDaniel building until recently about some things that were going on. But we kind of knew that some shit wasn't right in there, right? And that led to everybody's demise, including ours as fans. So, yeah, I'm with you, bro. Yep. We'll see what Willie does.
No doubt. Question from the chat, Perk. They wanted to know what the overall vibe was. It looks like it's another Joe Robbie question. He wants to know what the overall vibe was. Just and, you know, I guess I'll throw in there as well, just kind of the operation. How did it look like an efficient practice that was well organized and moved around? Because I know that was one of the big criticisms of the Mike McDaniel era. That I'll never forget Kimbo Camper when we they played against Washington, and Bo's sitting there and he's just fuming, and he's seeing the Dolphin players got their dancing and their helmets are off, and the Washington players are doing wind sprints and the whole thing, and he goes, training camp, summer camp, and he was infuriated. So what was the operation? What was the vibe from practice on day one of the Halfley era?
Bo and everybody else will be happy to hear Bo was out there today. It was a tight operation. And I'll say this, I was impressed by what I saw with guys sprinting from drill to drill, station to station. Probably the biggest thing that I was impressed with was when they broke the huddle, they sprinted to the line of scrimmage. And that was every play. So, and look, and I know you can say, well, what the hell else do you expect on the first day of training camp? Everybody's excited. It's the first day of a new era, et cetera, et cetera. Well, that's better than everybody dragging ass out there. You want to see that. So all I can say is it was highly energetic. I think that that vibe is going to carry on throughout the whole training camp, but I was very encouraged with what I saw today. It was an efficient practice. It was crisp. Again, just like we saw in OTAs and minicamp, Jeff Halfley was very intentional on everything that he did. He watched the offense. He watched the defense. He talked to coaches. He talked to players. He corrected. He observed. He didn't yell and rant and scream. He coached. He communicated. He corrected. He congratulated. He was very supportive. He was in charge. He seemed fair. But, half is intense. And you picked up that vibe, the intensity of the practice. But from that standpoint, it was all good. We'll see if it translates into victories in September and October. But I like the vibe out there. I was very encouraged by the vibe out there.
You know, Perk, I love that you said that. Because if you remember, we had a lot of issues in two at quarterback. Guys getting to the line of scrimmage. Yep. What we call it, Seth, we kept harping about.
We had a lot of miscommunication.
Miscommunication for sure. But also guys were lollygagging. I'm a major league, I'm a moving major league. That's one of my favorites. But they were lollygagging to the line of scrimmage. And we had motion shifts and all this. And we had all this procedure stuff and delay a game on time. Things like that. But when Quinn Ewers took over as quarterback last year, those guys were popping to the line of scrimmage. And I don't know why that wasn't the same way with Tua. With the same head coach, same play caller, same offense coordinator, all those things. Quinn Ewers had him get into the line of scrimmage right away. I love that. If you're going to do a bunch of stuff pre-snap, get your ass to the line of scrimmage. Yep. And it's also important that our wide receivers, which, I love my wideouts, but hell, they didn't know what side they were on half the time.
Right.
And then they're sprinting to the other side, and then they got to make a shift and adjustment, and now everybody, it's all messed up, man. So I love that part of the pep in their step, man. Because, especially, when it comes to the game, get up there, leave yourself a lot of time on the play clock so you can make these decisions instead of having to be rushed into them. I felt we were rushed so many times because we were so late getting out there on the ball. And it's very beneficial for quarterbacks and offensive linemen to get out there and get set right away so defense can tell you what they're doing or at least try to, they might try to disguise, but at least you got time to make adjustments, man. So I love the fact that they got that pep in their step right there so far.
And Juice, so we talked about it last year. Isn't it better for everybody that you just get out there and you do your job? You don't have to overthink things. You get out there, you're like, I know what I have to do, and get out there instead of like, am I on this side? Am I that? Am I in motion? Are we all in motion? Like the entire team was in motion, I think, at one point.
Oh, man. arena ball. Yeah, it was straight up arena football, man, sometimes it seemed. Or Canadian League, whatever the hell rules they were playing. It don't work in this league right here, man. So, Chad, it's always the three things, man. Assignment, alignment, adjustment. You know what I mean? You get your assignment, get your ass to the line of scrimmage. So now, now you get your alignment. Now you can make the adjustment that you need. If you don't have time to make that adjustment in your mind, bro, you're gonna be scrambling. You don't know if they're playing cover two, cover four, cover six. Man, you'll know man to man because dude is behind you. You'll know those things. But the bigger picture is what are the safeties doing? If you don't have time to locate what they're doing, you're going to have a problem, especially as a wide receiver, especially if you lined up on this side, then you had to go to that side, and then you got to go motion. Bro, it was a hot mess after a while, bro. It was such a hot mess, man. And that became – and you cannot just line up and play football in the league unless you just got dominant players. You cannot line up and run. You've got to have motions and shifts. You got to see if they're man-to-man. You've got to see, you know, what the coverage looks like. You got to see if they've got corners over. You know, corners over is always 90% man-to-man defense. You know, you see guys and people. These guys, I know all the guys in the chat probably play Madden. They send a guy in motion to see if the dudes they're playing against playing man-to-man.
Right, that's right.
Do that. See if they're playing right. Man-to-man. Same thing in the pros. You know, so. Well, you know, I like getting up there, figuring it out, and let's run this thing, man. But you got to be able to be efficient getting to the line of scrimmage with plenty of time on the play clock.
I feel like if you show up to meetings and practice, then you might actually be able to do
you
that.
Stay awake in them, Big Steph. If you stay awake in them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, you got to get to them. You got to get to
all
them.
You need. You get all the information you need if you do all those things.
Yeah, that's it.
Somebody said in the chat, no cell phones. Ben, you were saying, may not bring the cell phones to the walkthrough. No, it's not too soon. And by the way, yes, Jeff Hafley does not communicate by going,
I'm not going to hold that against the man. I have never made fun of Mike McDaniel for that. But the fact that he had to sit there and talk about, you know, everybody being late at the end of the season press conference, that's my damn issue. Oh, yeah. Sam Marcoux in the house. Who's the worst training camp teammate of yours, Juice? Give that some thought. We want to know. Oh, and since you brought up Tua and we're like, you know, the stalking exes here checking out. Yeah. Nothing to report for Tua because, you know, he wasn't able to practice today. All right. So, Juice, think about Sam Marcoux's question if you're willing to share it with us. And in the meantime, I want to get into the Van Horn locker room.
I'm not going to share it. Just stop.
Okay. Well, so you thought about it. Not going to share it. I'm moving on to the Van Horn locker room.
Look, Seth, if we do the podcast, we don't, Savak, you ready? We don't shit on any player. You know what I mean? Podcast, and I won't do that to a couple guys that, they weren't very, they were rough at training camp.
There it is. Too good. So, all right, Van Horn Law Group Legal Zone. Here's the big question for you, Chad. Jay-Z seeks to block bankruptcy from wiping out six-figure judgment won in years-long paternity lawsuit. Put that into English for us because Jay-Z is not filing for bankruptcy. He's in a lawsuit with somebody. And he's the billionaire, I think. I think he and Beyonce combined are there in a billionaire with a B.
Yeah.
And he's suing somebody who's filing bankruptcy.
Yeah, man. This is an interesting one because, you know, Jay-Z, he got 99 problems. And this bankruptcy case is actually one of them, which is crazy to me. Because should a billionaire be allowed to chase a bankrupt woman for $119,000?
I mean, right?
And let's talk about it real quick. Like, who's Team Jay-Z? Who is Team Fresh Start? Because, you know, I love, especially Jay-Z's older work, as I think we all enjoy. But we all enjoy a fresh start as well.
Yeah.
But let me clarify a couple things before, you know, the internet creates a wrong headline for me. As you said, Jay-Z did not file bankruptcy. He is a creditor. A woman who is a godmother of an illegal guardian of a man who has claimed for years that Jay-Z is his biological father. Jay-Z denied it, and the lawsuits brought against him have repeatedly been dismissed. So multiple lawsuits. And the latest case was dismissed, and Jay-Z was awarded approximately $119,000 in attorney's fees and costs. But the guardian filed for bankruptcy, so Jay-Z came in and told the judge, this is not a normal debt. This is not credit cards or medical bills like you can normally get rid of. You cannot get rid of this $119,000 judgment. And in bankruptcy, there is actually special categories if it's not an ordinary debt, if it's a debt that arises from fraudulent statements, misrepresentations, and harassing litigation, it can actually be non-dischargeable. But here's the most interesting part to me. Like, legally, Jay-Z's wealth shouldn't matter, right? The bankruptcy code doesn't say a creditor loses rights because it's all you already have enough money, right? Jay-Z and your neighbor are supposed to receive the same legal analysis. But emotionally and with the headlines, of course it matters. Because Jay-Z doesn't need the $119,000 from right?
Hand out of his pocket, Chad. Get your hand out of his pocket. Yeah.
The woman filing for bankruptcy, probably this could impact the rest of her life. However, I assume Jay-Z doesn't want to see any more of these lawsuits down the road. So I asked the gentleman on the panel, this is a legal zone. Who are we supporting in this with these facts? Are we supporting that Jay-Z should be going after this non-dischargeable judgment against this lady? Or should this lady get her fresh start and everybody should move on?
Before anybody answers, I just have one question of clarification. The person who filed the paternity suit, is it the lady or it's her godson?
It's actually the lady.
Oh, she filed the suit. Okay.
On his behalf.
I got you.
Yes. I got you. So I'm here to clarify anything. I've read the transcripts. I've read the docket. Obviously, I feel like Jay-Z isn't actively participating because, you know, he has people, I assume, that handle this. But I do assume that he is the decision maker, that we want to move forward with this because he didn't like the harassment or whatever happened. And he was successful in the underlying litigation.
So Chad, did they go on Maury Povich?
So unfortunately, that's how us sophisticated people back in the day used to take care of things.
Okay.
Right. We had Jerry Springer, we had Maury, we had all of that.
Right.
So like we would just sign up, we'd go on there, it'd be figured out. Now, unfortunately, all of this spills into the courts.
Yeah. I'm old school. I used to go to Morton Downey Jr.
Wow. Morton Downey Jr.
Wow, that is old school.
Yeah. Old. Jenny Jones. Hey, Jenny Jones was crazy.
Jenny Jones, that's right.
Out of control right there.
I'll tell you this, Chad. I can kind of agree with Jay-Z on principle. I would feel a lot better if he said, if I get this money, it's going to charity. I would feel better because he doesn't need the money. You don't want to punish the woman, but it sounds like he's right here. But if he would say the money is going to charity, I would feel better about it.
But you know he's probably spending $250 on his lawyers.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. At least. Right.
Well,
you said
he's a. I mean, I said keep your hand out of Jay-Z's. But a billionaire, $250. He spent that last night in New York City.
Right.
Exactly.
On his own champagne.
Right.
Yeah, I you know. I mean, I get it. It is kind of messed up when people just say crazy things, and who knows what that lawsuit and that situation and those claims caught. Got a bunch of guys here with wives. Like, he still had to go home, and yeah, it's Jay-Z and Beyonce, but it's a guy and his wife, and he had to go answer for some nonsense, and it's not real, and Beyonce made his life hell as a result of all of that. And then, you know, I get why he might feel the way he feels, but it's like, at what point is, I mean, the average person just doesn't have $100,000 to hand over to a billionaire. They just don't. Right. So what other options are there beyond just that? So crazy situation. It doesn't seem like it's going to get any prettier.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my favorite lines, from, I think it was Ocean's 11, when they were talking about, going after Tony Bennett. It's like, Tony Bennett won't just bankrupt you. At one time he bankrupted his brother's car dealership and whatever, like, we go up to the family, and then after he was done with everybody, would kill you. Right? Yeah. So you just got to be careful when you're dealing with billionaires in general, and
especially pissed off billionaires.
Yeah. And if you piss them off, like, you got to be just extremely careful for anybody that's been through litigation. So the moral of the story is, like, you know, discussing settlement discussions coming up, because obviously with something like paternity, and I don't know how the underlying case, I didn't review the other one. Like, it's pretty quick that you can resolve that. We have science that can determine that.
Right. Yeah. Real fast.
And if the science comes back, then you kind of got to let that go.
That's right. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Well, always great.
It sounds like the science did come back, though, right?
Exactly. Hey,
can I do a very quick legal zone? Very quick.
Please.
So
please.
This is sports related. This is Tony Romo. And so we always hear, Chad, that don't blow if you get pulled over. Is that correct? And it's my understanding if you don't blow, they take your license and it's suspended for 6 months, I think. Are both of those true?
Look at you, Perk. So, I mean, you got your legal license off of your driver's license. If you look at the back of your driver's license, it actually tells you that. In the state of Florida.
I've never looked at the back of my driver's license.
Yeah. So while I'm doing this, why don't you pull out your driver's license, read the back. So Perk, we'll go through it. So the driver's license says you consent. And then if you don't, you automatically lose your driver's license in the state of Florida.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. But
fortunately,
mine does not say that.
Oh, you have the old one.
No, I got the one with the shield on it.
All right. So Mr. Romo, though.
Mine doesn't either.
No. So Tony Romo, fortunately for him, he was in Wisconsin. And Wisconsin has very different laws than Florida. And I don't know if you guys ever heard of Arizona, like Scottsdale and whatever. You go on vacation, leave on probation.
Yep.
Like legitimately, you go there, you get a DUI, like you're going hard time for like 30 days immediately. Yep. And in Wisconsin, it's a $300 civil penalty. So it's not even a criminal offense. So it is incredible how, you know, we are the United States of America, but we are extremely divided when it comes to certain laws. And one of my law professors said that the European Union is actually more cohesive when it comes to laws than the United States, which is crazy because they recently became the European Union.
Right.
But it seems like they're more eye to eye on things than the United States, which shows us that up there, Wisconsin, and you can always look at where the money is, where the lobby, you know, you can talk about all of that. And obviously, Wisconsin's a drinking state. We would all agree. And
they all are.
So they protect that. But in other states, you're going to go to jail. So the short answer is, in the state of Florida, you will forfeit your license. If it's your first time, if you get a good attorney that handles these things, there may be ways to deal with it. And never admit, which if you watch the video too, I don't love that the cop didn't allow him to speak to his lawyer, because whenever anybody says, I want to speak to my lawyer, you got to let him speak to the lawyer. And the cop didn't. So that might be an issue in this case. It might not be a big issue because, again, it's a civil penalty. It's going to go away. But in general, don't admit to anything. So if they have to, first off, they have to have probable cause to pull you over. If they don't have probable cause, you can beat it there. But if you, as soon as you tell them, yes, you know, I've had a couple drinks or whatever it is, then they can go into more depth. So most importantly, don't drink and drive. Plenty of Ubers out there. If you ever get in trouble, talk to your attorney before doing anything. But if you think you might be close, definitely do not go through the things that Tony Romo just went through. Because honestly, like, I think four out of the five of us would fail those tests. Just completely sober. So, and it never looks good on video. Yeah,
right.
Well,
right.
Well, and you know, we'll get into, I try to tell y'all next, but I just think that for anybody who does calisthenics before they're going to do their field sobriety test, that alone, you deserve to be locked up. That was the Van Horn Law Group Legal Zone. Great stuff as always, Chad. We appreciate that. And, you know, I still miss the days of Perk's Condo Association situation, but we're at where we're at now. It's a new era. It's a new regime and it's a new season. Juice, let's kick off. I tried to tell y'all, man.
I really, really, really was not going to do one this time, because you know what? It's like, it's just getting out of control when it comes to these. I tried to tell y'all, man. Y'all, really well done, well produced. You know what I mean? All kinds of fun stuff, man, where my little, you know, non-writing ass is, you know, been, I've been struggling.
No
but
judgment here, Juice.
All right, cool. Well, I hope you say that after I'm done with this one, Big Seth, because I tried to tell y'all, Big Seth sits in that chair every week talking like Mountain Dew is his one true love.
Oh, hell no.
The green bottle, the citrus hit, the only soda that gets their respect. He will go to war for it, defend it, preach it, act like anything else is a personal insult. Then the man rolls through the Burger King drive-thru. Window rolls down. Same voice that just finished, you know, talking about loyalty, shouts out, "Hey, Rule," when they're actually saying through the headset, "You rule." So he doesn't even know what's going on the other side of the speaker. And what does he order? Mellow Yellow.
Come on, man.
Not even a secret. Not even, you know, I was desperate. Straight up cheats on Mountain Dew with the yellow cousin that tastes like it got left out in the sun in Florida. Same family, different standards. Mountain Dew is out here putting in work, putting in big work. And Big Seth is in the drive-thru lane, sneaking around with the understudy. I'm a long-time friend. Right, I'm a long-time friend of the Dew. Been loyal. And as much as I love Big Seth, I got no choice but to tell on his ass. You know, athletes been doing the same thing for years. Tiger Woods and the whole world believing that marriage was locked in. Then the text started hitting the newspapers and long nights turned into full roster of names. One minute, he's the face of loyalty. Next minute, the secret is bigger than the major championships. Kobe Bryant stood in front of a camera and admitted it out loud, said he was guilty of adultery. The marriage survived, but the public confession still sits in the history books. Nobody saw that coming from the guy who looked untouchable. Magic Johnson wrote it down for the world. Thousands of women, no filter. Just the truth dropped in a book while the rest of us were still trying to process it. Joe Rose on WQAM even says athletes have trouble in relationships down here because there are too many combination packages. I can only imagine the number of Dolphins, Heat players, Marlins players, Panthers, and even Inter-Miami guys that have had some issues down here. But that's their business. Perk is still single because he lives right here in the middle of the beautiful scenery. Chad is happily and faithfully married to an amazing Latina woman, Gabby. Different sports and different situations, but the same pattern. Talk that talk in public, and the private order comes through the window looking completely different. Now, Seth is the most loyal and faithful husband to his wife, Marianne, and to all of his friends. But when it comes to beverages, it's a different story. Seth can keep talking that talk to the mic, but the receipt is real. Burger King, Mellow Yellow, and Mountain Dew sitting at home wondering where the loyalty went. Not only did I try to tell y'all, but I had to tell y'all.
Man, Seth caught a straight.
I am devastated right now. I'm absolutely devastated. I thought Juice was my partner. I was upset finding out he's doing post game for preseason, and now he's going to talk about Mellow Yellow. If Burger King would switch to Pepsi products, we wouldn't have any issues. Thank you, Polika. Unbelievable.
Oh man.
I can't believe what just happened here.
That was an ambush.
It was a complete ambush. I knew I was in trouble. We said, let's see if you still feel that way after this. I tried to tell y'all. Let's just keep it moving. Savak, what did you try to tell us? If it's about Mellow Yellow, I'm ending this trip.
I promise it's not about Mellow Yellow.
Well, thank you.
And Juice, you know what? We heard your notes. I feel you. And that's why I decided to kick it kind of old school and do it live again.
Wow.
There we go.
All kinds of shocks today.
So I tried to tell you, Malik Willis has the right mindset. And honestly, I think he always has. Now, y'all know, or you don't know, that I loved me some Malik Willis coming out of Liberty. I truly believed if he landed with the right organization, the right coaching staff, the right people around him, he had a chance to become something special. He didn't. Instead, he landed in Tennessee. Now, look, Mike Vrabel has proven he's one hell of a football coach when he's not allegedly hanging around certain female reporters while digging up stories. But the staff around him at the time wasn't exactly the 96 Chicago Bulls of quarterback development. They took a prospect who needed patience, polish, and confidence, and somehow managed to convince half the football world the kid couldn't play. And because of that, Malik played poorly enough that most of us slapped the bust label on him and kept it moving. But here's the funny part. Since then, the Titans have drafted not one, but two more quarterbacks. One of them already has people wondering if he's another bust trying to escape the allegations. The other's shown flashes, but we're all still waiting for that next step before we start fitting him for a Hall of Fame jacket. And it doesn't stop there. They've also brought in former first-round pick Mitch Trubisky and former Lions third-rounder Hendon Hooker. At this point, Tennessee's quarterback room feels less like a depth chart and more like an open casting call. So we'll see how that all shakes out. Meanwhile, Malik went to Green Bay. And, well, we all know how that story ended. It's the whole damn reason he's in a Miami Dolphins uniform today. Now, we won't know how he'll actually play until the games start. Practice hype only cashes checks on Twitter. But I can tell you this. The man is saying every single thing right. Now, I don't know if you guys – I don't think it's because he's media trained. I think it's because that's genuinely who he is. Matter of fact, did y'all know he won the Bobby Bowden Award in college? For everyone who's not in on it, that's given each year to an FBS player who models excellence in faith, academics, leadership, and community service. You got to maintain a 3.0. Your athletic director and your head coach have to back you. It's not exactly an award they hand out for having a cool Instagram. But if that doesn't convince you, let me tell you about yesterday's media availability. Somebody asked him if he'd settled into the community yet. And he basically said, yeah, you know, I've got my places. People know me. So naturally, somebody followed up with, do you get recognized a lot? And Malik gave what might honestly be my favorite Dolphins quote since fuck the Jets. He goes, it depends, because I really don't be going outside like that. And somebody doubled down. They're like, well, you know, like when you go to Publix and stuff, Malik's response, no, I really don't be going out like that. I Instacart and stuff. I love that. The man said, you can't recognize me at Publix if Publix never recognizes me. Elite pocket awareness, elite grocery awareness. And you pair with that with another thing he said earlier in the press conference. He said, I missed football. I get bored. Now that's a guy who sounds like he actually enjoys playing football. He'd probably be throwing passes in the Walmart parking lot if nobody was paying him. Crazy concept these days, I know. But when you put those comments together, they paint a picture of somebody who's serious about his craft, a professional who's ready if his number gets called. Now, will he succeed? Couldn't tell you. Nobody could. But I do know he's going to prepare, he's going to compete, and I know he's going to give this football team everything he's got. And at the end of the day, that's all you can ask. And it's also what I tried to tell you.
There we go. I like it.
I'm on board with you, Savak. I'm with you, man. Yep. Let's go, Malik.
Right. I don't know, man. Instacart, bad decision making there. That's expensive, bro. That's for rich people.
It's okay. You got one.
I'm just saying. $5 million guaranteed. He's got a couple bucks, Chad.
That's right there, Chad. Yeah.
That's what Malik is telling us. I'm rich.
I think he is in that category. Is that what you're trying to tell us, Chad? Instacart, bad decisions.
Man, I got a quick one as always. I try to, Perk. Did you hear about the condo building in Miami with the Airbnbs?
Yep, I did.
Right. Is that your building?
That's not.
So for those of you y'all that don't know, the Sun Sentinel ran an article about there's this building in Miami. I think it's South Beach, right? Or is it?
South Beach.
Where they basically turned it into 80% Airbnb, and the 20% we're trying to take back over, and there's litigation that came from it and everything, and it didn't end up working because I guess, you know, this is where people are coming back 4 or 5 a.m. throwing up in the hallways and you know, just not a good place to live. So I initially was like, this is definitely where Perk lives. I try to tell y'all is do not buy a condo. If you haven't learned anything else from the fish tank, do not buy a condo, especially a condo that is full of Airbnbs. Yeah. If you're going to buy a condo, call me and I will tell you do not buy a condo.
Yeah, I should have met you about 15, 16 years ago.
You're a little bit late. You're a little bit late.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, Chris Perkins, what did you try to tell us?
I tried to tell y'all it's time to get excited about the Miami Dolphins. And not just because training camp has started, because it's a new day and a new era in Dolphins land. And we've been talking about this tonight so far, where you talk about the enthusiasm is up in practice. Guys are sprinting between drills from station to station. They're sprinting from the huddle to the line of scrimmage. You're seeing Halfley go straight to 11 and 11. You're seeing Halfley talk about they're going to be tackling in training camp this year. This team needed more physicality. It needed a new attitude, and Jeff Halfley is here to deliver it. That's reason to get excited. These guys love it. I told you Austin Jackson loved it. 11 on 11, the mentality, the physicality, the attitude. Austin Jackson said that this is more like what Brian Flores did. And I know some people don't like to hear that name, but think about it like this. Flo was a defensive coach. Halfley is a defensive coach. You need that aggression. You need that mentality. You need that change of pace, that change of style. We had too much finesse pretty boy football here. I like Mike McDaniel. I respect Mike McDaniel, but he didn't bring that aggression, that mentality, that nastiness. You're going to have that now. It's time to be excited about this team. Don't fixate on the record. The record is not the point this year. Now, you don't want to see them go 2-15, but don't worry if they don't win 6 or 7 games. Again, this season is about making sure that Sully is the right guy, Half is the right guy, Malik Willis is the right guy, and your team has the right attitude. And as far as that last part, Halfley is taking care of that. This team needed change. Halfley is bringing change to this team. Let's not get too far over our skis. We haven't even seen this team in pads, but what we've seen so far is worth mentioning that there is a change in Dolphins land. It's what this franchise needed. I kept saying for years and years, this team needs an adjustment physically and mentally. I think that adjustment is here. Be excited. I tried to tell y'all.
Yes, sir. Perk, you got me pumped up, Perk. I can't wait to get my credentials, man. I can't wait to get my credentials.
It's a new team, man. It's a new team. I'm telling
you. Positive Perk I saw in the chat. Positive Perk. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, you know, from your lips to, I guess, whatever we'll see on the field, that's for sure. I'm a little shook. I'm still trying to recover from this Mountain Dew situation. But having said that, I tried to tell y'all that the Miami Dolphins needed to draft Chop Robinson with the 21st overall pick in the first round of the 2024 NFL draft. Juice can confirm this since he's, you know, confirming a lot of things today. Juice can confirm this as he and Travis Wingfield sat beside me during the Fox Sports 940 Dolphins draft show, the same show where I also fought against drafting an interior lineman in the first round and strongly suggested that Miami select a future left tackle in the second round to learn under Teron Armstead before taking over the position. You know, a player like, I don't know, maybe Patrick Paul. Right. And after going against the popular grain on that show and nailing the team's first two picks and never being invited back to a draft show by the good people at iHeart, Chop went on to register 6 sacks during his rookie season. He finished 5th in the AP Defensive Rookie of the Year award voting, and he was selected to the PFWA All-Rookie Team. What a great pick. His explosiveness was uncanny. His sack celebration captivated his teammates and the fan base. The future looked bright. And then the 2025 season rolled around. Chop's playtime diminished from 53% of Miami snaps to just 44%. His production all but disappeared. And then his coaches, the media, and this fan base began to turn on him. And I get it. Last year wasn't pretty. For nearly anyone representing the orange and aqua, and I'm sticking to it, the man who drafted Chop was relieved of his duties before the season reached the finish line. Same with Tua, who got paid $100 million to leave as well and apparently didn't get a good chiropractor. McDaniel cleared out his office. Anthony Weaver went home to Baltimore. And the two pass rushers who lined up in front of Chop, Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb, they turned in their playbooks, one a little more ceremoniously than the other. And only Chop survived the purge. Although I'm not so sure that survive is exactly a major award here. Jonas Avayanaya is the only player on this Miami Dolphins roster, this current roster, who took more heat and faced more doubt than Chop Robinson over the past 9 months. And the former left guard at least has a leg up, and he also has the benefit of people hoping that his shift to right guard is the right move this season, whereas Chop has entered the make or break zone. Now, don't get me wrong. He's earned his spot there. I'm just putting my money on make. Today we learned Robinson put on some weight the right way to better prepare himself for setting the edge, for the rigors of a 17-game season, for the strength necessary to overpower and overcome the gauntlet of offensive tackles he's about to face. And we also have to hope that he's added a few pass rush tools to his toolbox. And perhaps most importantly, that Jeff Hafley and Sean Duggan understand how best to utilize him. But the one thing that I really hope is that people stop giving up on Chop. I recognize that his 4 sacks left a lot to be desired, but there are plenty of examples of guys who struggled early and went on to become spectacular sack artists. Cam Jordan, he of 132 sacks. Well, 131 of them came after his rookie year when he only reached a quarterback once in 15 starts. Then you had Robert Mathis, a number member of the 100-sack club. Let's not forget the 3.5 quarterback takedowns he kicked off his career with. Michael Strahan, he had 5.5 sacks combined over his first 2 seasons. And as much as I don't like bringing it up, Jason Taylor even had a 2.5 sack season in year 3 before going on a Hall of Fame run of his own. I'm not saying that Chop's career will rival any of these guys, but I do think a little patience and perspective may be in order. The Dolphins need to find a pass rush this year. I think it's going to take a combination of some creativity from Jeff Hafley, the emergence of an unlikely rookie, and a lot more of late 2024 Chop Robinson than any version of the guy that we saw in 2025. But I think that's exactly what we're going to get from him. The Miami Dolphins needed to draft Chop Robinson in the first round, and they need him now more than ever. I tried to tell y'all.
We are. Yeah.
There we go.
I do love
that's what I got.
Celebration. Yeah.
I do like the sack celebration.
I do. We've only seen it 2 times.
Jack, come on.
You know I got to take a shot. No, I do like Chop. I'm a Chop fan. I want to see again or get the quarterback on the ground.
Getting to the ground.
100%.
But I'm a Chop fan. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah.
Well, hopefully at 265 he's rocking, man. Should be good for him, you know, setting the edge like Half wants him to, man. But get your job, like said, get the quarterback to the ground. If you're 265, the biggest quarterback you're going to face is 240, probably Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
You're quick as hell. Get him to the ground, bro.
Yeah.
That's all I'm asking, man. If not – Don't let him escape and make plays. That's what I get frustrated about.
Was that more of a Chop issue, or we saw that a lot with Jalen Phillips last year? I feel like Chop would get stonewalled oftentimes, you know? I think either he
got out. Yeah, I don't know what his footwork was like. You know, it slipped down a lot. Yeah. And then once he falls to the ground, these big mugs just lay on him.
They lay on him, you know? Yeah. I felt like when he got to the quarterback was going down. The issue was, and you know, late in
how many sacks did he have, Big Seth?
He had 4 last year.
So he only got there 4 times?
Well, you can get there and be disruptive, right?
I know it is.
But what I'm trying to say though is that I don't think it was. We saw it a couple times with Jalen Phillips, and I like Jalen Phillips a lot. Man, I like that guy a lot as a person, as a player. But we saw where he and unfortunately, like with Herbert, we saw it with guys
that
made big plays in big moments when that play would have won us a game. And I don't think that was the issue with Chop. I think sometimes he either it was a strength issue, or it was like he didn't know what to do once if that first move didn't work, or a guy was able to beat that first step of his, then he was kind of stuck. And that's why I said he needs more tools in his toolbox. Some of that is coaching, and a lot of that's on Chop, but some of that is coaching. But I just think I hope he doesn't lose the explosiveness with the
extra. He said he's quick as ever.
Well, good.
It hurt.
Yeah.
I hope so. Because I know
you're right, though. You can be quick as you want, strong, but you got to – JT, you talk about that 2.5. JT, he retooled. He had all kinds of moves, man.
That's it.
Get you in the quick around the edge, the dip inside, and he'll run through your chest too. You got to be able to do those things, man, in order to have a – and then – and you said it too, and I think – and I know JT talked about it before. He set tackles up.
Mm-hmm.
He set them up throughout the whole game, man. Like he read these dudes throughout the whole game. Now he knows what's going to work when it was nut cutting time, man. And that's a defensive end for me. You might not get the first, second quarter sacks. We talk about quarterbacks doing the same thing, but fourth quarter when it's time to get stops, you got that tackle set up. That's what JT was a master at. Had him set up and ready to fail because he could do it all at that point. He had him all, he knew exactly what they were going to do if he did this or that. Now that's what made him great. That's why he's, you know, that's why he got rid of his aqua jacket, you know, and put on his gold jacket.
Yeah. And I'll say this to your point, Seth, about Chop. You guys know his rookie year, you remember he moved a little further to the outside when he got those 6 sacks, right? To give him the inside-outside option.
Let him get wide, man.
Why not?
Last year, the offensive tackles countered that. And Chop never came up with a counter to the counter. So, right. Seth, as you say, you need more tools in the toolbox. Part of that is Chop, but a lot of that is also coaching. So we'll see what Austin Clark and Chop and Sean Duggan and Jeff Hafley can come up with together. But yeah, he's never countered the offensive tackle counter to his move.
That's it. Yeah. So, I mean, that needs to happen. I just, and going back to what you said, Juice, and you brought up JT, I remember he had to deal with the weight thing, you know, his first couple of years, and it really drove him nuts. He put on weight, and he felt that he was sluggish, and he just didn't feel like he was the same athlete. And then he just decided, screw it, I'm going to go with what got me here, and we see what the result is. So I hope this is a good move for Chop.
Yeah.
If the weight was part of the issue, I guess we'll find out. You know, strength maybe. I don't know that his weight.
Yeah, see, but remember, I mean, JT, Seth, remember before we get out of here, but JT is strong as hell. People don't realize how strong he is,
and he
be like Warren Sapp, and like, was it Warren Sapp that he?
The defensive lineman competition. Yeah,
defensive lineman competition. He beat him in the bench or. One of those bench competitions, and Warren Sapp was pissed.
He was.
You know what I mean? Because JT don't look like a guy that would beat somebody like Warren Sapp in a benching contest. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they try to use that thing all the time. You know, just like the guys hated when they would have to do the 110s and he would run with the big men. And they're like, that dude should be running with the DBs.
Exactly
and not
right, he should have, man. Yeah. No, we're playing fast football, man, when he was running circles around those defensive linemen, man. Like,
right. And it was the same thing Sapp would complain about until all of a sudden he did. He hit him with the weight thing. So, anyway, great show. Appreciate everybody being here. We had a really good crowd tonight. The chat was lively. Love seeing Bohica back in the chat. Love seeing the Dive Bar crew back in the chat, and certainly all of our regulars.
Sarns, everybody up in the building.
Sarny, yeah. I mean, what a great group.
Lisa, so, everybody, man. We can't. I love to shout everybody out, except Leo. Man, what a great. Yeah, everybody's excited, man. It's day one of training camp, time. Man. And Chad, how can I get some of that cheese and crackers, man?
Hey, bro, you know where I live. But it's not the fancy crackers that, you know, the other people on this show.
I got Ritz and I got Club.
Oh, sure. You got both?
I'm looking to get some Toll House.
Oh, all right. I need to come to your crib. I'll
bring the loyalty and crackers, apparently, you know. But all of a sudden, I'm being judged when they don't even fit. The whole franchise doesn't carry Mountain Dew when I'm getting
you
judged.
You don't claim one cracker or the other, Big Seth. You claim one beverage.
Yeah, we got Keeblers at my condo.
Oh, he's at a fancy spot.
They got a fancy spot.
Okay, now I know where he lives. Okay,
no, they got
you're at the 11 towers, aren't you?
Well, guys, the good news is we figured out how to finally end at 10 o'clock, and that was to start 30 minutes early. So we're about an hour and a half into this thing. Juice, I think it's time for you to get us out of here.
All right, hey, everybody, thanks for diving in.
Sitting down with Seth Living, Seth, OJ, Juice Man, ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans, golf fans, number one, of course y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk, dive up in that fish tank, go get your aqua orange, yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank.
talking when you dive up in.